10. One quick announcement, did not mention earlier, there is a nursing home ministry today at 2 o'clock at Winslow's Nursing Home. If you'd like to go out and be a part of that, just being there, singing along with the people, greeting the people as a blessing to those that are there and also to those that are helpers there from our church and representatives. So if you'd like to go out and be a part of that, yes, sir. It's at 2:30 now. 2:30 now. I'm sorry. I got some bad information. That ever happened to you before? And get bad. They just want to make sure you're on time. So they show you, tell you 2 o'clock. They make sure you're going to be there by 2:30. So 2:30 today. Also, I did not mention earlier, but, I do want to thank those that made last, Friend Day and our Bible conference such a success. Those that were faithful, those that had their friends and their families that are here with us, and thankful for those that are here this morning with us too. Just a great, great week, great, great day. And it took a lot of work, and I am thankful for all the work that was placed into that. If you were not here, you missed it. We had a wonderful day. We had four different people that walked the aisle and professed salvation. We had another person that came up to me afterwards talking about how she got saved, and some others that raised their hand during the middle of the invitation that they accepted Christ too. So it was just a banner day that day, and we're just really counting the blessings that God provided for us. Okay, Genesis chapter 21, this is probably one of the best days in the life of Abraham. Now, Abraham here is about 100 years old, and Abraham is having a son. I don't know about you, but you get excited about having children. I mean, usually you get pretty pumped, and you know how those dads get all excited and nervous inside the hospital room, and then you see how they're all excited and just bursting when they have a child. But can you imagine Abraham after 100 years? I mean, how excited this guy was. He imagined Mr. Armstrong is 100 years old, and he was excited about his birthday party. Imagine how excited he would be if he had a child at 100 years old. But can you imagine how excited Abraham must have been? He must have been walking around his camp and just hugging everybody. You know, I don't think he passed out cigars, and if they were, they were just those candy ones, because he wouldn't have been passing out cigars. Obviously, right? But he would have been pumped. He would have been bursting buttons if he had buttons in his robe. But he would have been excited about this day. And it finally came and it finally arrived. Sarah at 90 years old, Abraham at 100, and God does what he says. The title of this morning's message is, God is Able. Genesis chapter 21, verse number 1, the Bible says, And the Lord visited Sarah, and you see that next phrase, as he had said. We are thankful because we serve a God that keeps his word, and a God that is faithful. And he says, and the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Praise the Lord. We can trust in God. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. Man, it's amazing what God can do. At the set time of which God had spoken to him. Not only was it miraculous in what he did it exactly at the time he said he was going to do it. Verse number 3, and Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God have made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that today we walk out of this place just rejoicing and praising you because we serve a God that is faithful. We serve a God that is able. We serve a God that is worthy of all of our praise. Lord, speak to people's hearts. Help us to see that God has kept every promise he's ever given and will continue to keep all the promises. That God is able to do miraculous things in individual lives. But help us not look at it as individual. But Lord, help us to see that God can do something special with our lives. And Lord, help us to leave this place saying, because he is faithful and because he is able, you are worthy of our praise, our trust, and our obedience. Speak to people's hearts, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen. First point I'd like you to look at, and you probably already know what it is, it's the God is faithful. God is faithful. You read this story, and as I pointed out in verse number 1, it says that he and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. He did exactly what he told Abraham and Sarah what he was going to do. That's what he did. There has never been a moment in our life when God has not been faithful to us. God does not fail. Now, sometimes we do not always understand. Sometimes we cannot see what God is doing, but we must learn to trust in him and believe with our heart that God is faithful. The Bible speaks of his faithfulness. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord, thy God, he is God. He's telling the nation of Israel, look, your God is not like all these other false gods. He is the one true living God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. Now listen to this, to 1,000 generations. Wow, that's 30, usually most people say a generation is 30 years long, and 30,000 years. There has never been a moment in time, that's just an extraordinary number that is given to the nation of Israel. There's never been a moment in time when God has not been faithful. And we can serve him because of his faithfulness. We can serve him because we know he's faithful. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why can we hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering? Because we know he is faithful. The Bible says, for he is faithful, that promise. Underneath the fact that God is faithful, let's also think about this, that God never lies. You know what? We get excited about that. We say, yes, God has promised he's going to take care of our needs. And we jump and we shout, yes, God's promised he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. And we should be excited about that. We know that God is faithful. We know that God is not going to lie. And we see in this story here how this applies to us is the fact that the Lord did exactly what he said. He did exactly to Sarah what he had spoken. The Bible says in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent, for hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You know, he's not like me and you, where sometimes we will make a promise and say, I'm going to be there, I'm going to help you, I'll do whatever it is I tell you. And we should be men and women of our words, but sometimes our circumstances stop us from getting there. As for instance, if someone was coming to my house to help me do something, and then on the way here, they were in a car accident. They had all intentions and all purposes to make it to my house so they could help me, but something stopped them. There is nothing that will ever stop God from keeping his promises. There is nothing that can stop God from being faithful. We are encouraged by this promise. We're excited about this promise. And the Bible says, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Man, he will not and cannot lie to us. Now, we're excited about that, but there's also another side of that. Well, if we're not doing what we're supposed to, we don't like to think about that side. You think about that, that God has promised that if your name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you head off into eternity without knowing Christ, you will spend eternity in a horrible place called hell. If we believe that he's never going to leave us and forsake us, we also need to believe that there is thousands and millions that are in a place called hell. We don't like to think of it that way. We like to think of the good things. He'll provide my needs. He'll keep us and he'll keep us sealed. We like all the good promises. But we got to remember, he's going to keep his promises when he says God is not mocked. When he talks about when we sow something, we're going to reap it. He talks about how our sins will be found out. All those other promises are there too. So when we're thinking about God being faithful, let us use this as a way that we can get excited and praise the Lord and say, he is worthy, he deserves my trust, he deserves my obedience, he deserves my praise. But also, let's help this convict our hearts and say, you know what, God's told me in his word that if I continue down this path, this is what's going to happen to me. And he's not going to lie, that I need to step up and change what I'm doing maybe. Not only under the fact that God is faithful and he never lies, God is always right on time. God is always right on time. I like people that are punctual. I try to be a person that's punctual. Sometimes I keep my schedule so tight at different days that something might happen and keeps it to where I'm a little late here or there. But God's right on time. Look what it says in verse number 2. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, Now look at this phrase. At the set time of which God had spoken to him. At the set time that God has spoken to him. Because we do not understand what God is doing all the time, sometimes we might begin to question God's faithfulness. Sometimes we might begin to question God's truthfulness. We might say things like, well, I know God is faithful, I know God is truthful, but it's just not happening the way I think it should. Maybe he has messed us this time, or maybe the Bible is wrong. But we got to remember, God works on his own time schedule. You think about the story of Lazarus. Great story. Mary and Martha, Jesus hears that he's sick. Jesus waits a number of days. He heads to their house. Martha runs out and says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus deals with her and explains to her, helps her to see that he is the Messiah, just to trust in him. And then Mary comes out and hears that he's coming and he says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But see, Jesus came right at the right moment and right at the right time, so God would get all the glory in it. And if you go and you see in the story, it talks about how he told Lazarus to come forth and how many believed, but some still didn't believe. But he did this to show his power over death. He did this to show a people that needed to see that he was God in the flesh and that even death did not have any holds on him. And here, he came right on time. And in this story, the exact moment that God told him that Isaac was coming, they came. Praise the Lord for that. We serve a God that comes right on time. And let's think about some things underneath that. You say, well, I don't believe that all the time. Well, you got to remember, God is always at work. He is always working. He is always working behind the scenes. Sometimes we got to look past all the secondary causes and see that God is trying to do something in your life. See that God is trying to accomplish something, that God is molding us, God is making us, God is doing things behind the scenes, making things come about to make his will happen in our lives. God is working and he's always on time and he's always at work. You think about when Jonah was cast into the sea by those men that were in the ship. What did Jonah say? He's praying to God, thou hast cast me into the deep. We know the scriptures say the sailors did it, but Jonah saw the hand of God and said, you know what, God, you're the one that did this. We got to look past those secondary things and say, okay, you know what? God is always working. I might not always see what he's doing, but I have to trust that he's always working. Not only is he right on time and he's always working, you got to remember his timetable comprehends all of history. His timetable, our God's work comprehends all of history. This is a great help to me. You know, lots of times I think, okay, God, let's bring revival. Let's see people saved. Let's see God move in such a great and mighty way. But God is the one in control. God's the one that's high and lifted up. God is the one that is telling us, you need to be faithful. You need to remain faithful. You need to just serve me. And his word comprehends all of history. It's not confined to one period of time. God can see tomorrow like we see yesterday's news. He knows exactly what happened. He has everything in control. He has the plans and the details. He has all of history already known and the knowledge of it. And he arrives right on time. We had a little miss up about the service for the nursing home. One person said 2 o'clock. One person said 2:30. God already knew that we were going to say those things. That's the knowledge he has. He arrives right on time. He comes exactly when we need to. He doesn't have to worry about what the schedules are and what the service. He already knows those things. See, this should help increase our faith. We got to say that we know that God is faithful. And we know because he's always working. He arrives right on time. And his time comprehends all of history. He knows exactly what you need 10 years from now. He knows exactly what you need 20 years from now. Young people, he knows exactly what type of mate you need. And maybe he's put you in a certain house so they can train you for your future work and for your future mate and for your future children. How many times have we heard, I hope your kids are just like you were. And you know, our parents will look at it and says, well, I hope you have a son just like you. And you know what? God could be training us and making us a certain way because he knows what you're going to be like then. He knows exactly what you need. And you say, man, why does God make me go through this? Why are we struggling financially? Why are we struggling physically? Why is these things happening to my family? God knows what you need 10 years down the road or 20 years down the road. And God knows what type of servant he needs and what type of testimony that you need and what type of all those other issues that you need down the road to bring glory and honor to his name. So we must learn to believe in God and that God comprehends all of history and just have faith in him. And we see this from this story. I said, where do you see it from this story? Well, remember a few chapters back, Sarah, she was Sarai back then, she took in her own self, said, okay, God promised Abraham a son. Oh, excuse me. God promised Abram a son. And for some reason, no children's coming. I got a bright idea. I'm going to give Abram to my servant Hagar and let have a child through Hagar, and I'll just take the child and call it my own. She messed up. She messed up big. And today, the nations over in the Arab countries, there is much war, much fighting because of the mistake that was made there. You know, she wasn't willing to wait on God's timing. Now, I think Abram was, we went through that whole sermon, we're not going to preach again. I think if Abram would have done what he was supposed to, and minister unto his wife, and give his wife the comfort that she needed, that God was going to use her, and God was going to work with her. But what happens then? We see Sarah gets what she asked for, and what happens is that the house is torn apart. She blames Abram. She treats Hagar so badly that Hagar takes off. She blames everybody else for her sin but herself. And when you get what you want from sin, you're never going to be satisfied. And here in this story, we must remember that God works out ahead of time what we need. He knew that Abraham and Sarah, when they were going to receive this child, so bring glory and honor to the name of God because of the fact that he had it at 100. Also, God works out all the details. You know, one of the things that encourages my faith and strengthens my faith and builds upon my faith is when I see prophecy in the Bible and I see how God talked about the captivity of Babylon with the Israelites before it ever happened, the destruction of Babylon before that ever happened. Even though he doesn't use Alexander the Great's name in the Bible, you can see the story that is told about him in the book of Daniel. It lines up with history. Prophecy should build upon our faith. He told us exactly where Jesus Christ was going to be born, that he was going to be born by a virgin. He told us exactly all those things are going to happen. God is faithful and he can always remain faithful because he can't lie. And because he knows the future and he can work out every single detail. If you take some time, you look back over your life and you consider and you meditate over how God has led you and directed you every step of the way, you'll see he was faithful during the trials. He was faithful during the temptations. He's faithful to when we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins. He is faithful. Second thing, not only is God faithful, God is able. Not only is God faithful, God is able. You see here in verse number 2, what does it say? For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. He did the impossible. We serve a God that can do the impossible. Tell me, what can our God not do? And don't be stupid with me after church and say, well, can he create a rock big enough to where he would pick? That's stupidity, okay, to say that, oh, God can't. No, God is able to do all things. God is able to do all things that he intends for it to be done. He is able to do any and everything. The Bible says, Ephesians 3:20, says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh within us. God is able to do all things. God can do the impossible. We see that Abraham had a son in his old age. And the Bible speaks about that. It talks about in verse number 2, his old age. It talks about the suck that was given to the child in verse number 7. He does the impossible. What is it that God can't do? I mean, he created this world. He parted the Red Seas. He hung the stars in the sky. He fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. There is nothing in this world that God cannot do. He walked on water. He closed the mouth of lions. He saves sinners from a sinful life. He enables a virgin to conceive. God can do everything. What is it that God can't do? And then you see in this passage of scripture, Abraham is busting out of the seams. He's getting the son that was promised. And we see in this passage of scripture so much truth about God. As number 1, he is faithful. Number 2, he is able. But I like, not only is he able to do the impossible, but I like that he says he can do the impossible with us. Look what it says in verses 6 and 7. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I am I have borne him a son in his old age. Now, you think about in this story, remember Sarah? Sarah, back in Genesis chapter 18, what did she do? She laughed. She heard God telling Abraham, Sarah's going to conceive. Sarah's going to have a child by the time of life. Come back around. Sarah's going to have a child. What does Sarah do? She chuckles and says, yeah, right. I'm not going to have a child. And this is where we make it personal. What do you like to say? God created the heaven and earth. He hung the stars up in the sky, and we think it's amazing. We think, man, God parted the Red Sea. What other powerful thing can God do? God can use people to do great things. But Sarah makes it personal here. God can use you to do something special too. It's not just characterizing, saying, yes, I believe God is able. It's when we make it personal and say, God is able to do it in my life. God is able to use me for whatever he desires and whatever he chooses to do. And Sarah, a few chapters back, over 9 months earlier, was laughing, saying, there's no way that God could use me. And here you hear her saying, he made me laugh. He says, I can do nothing but laugh because of the greatness of God, because he is not only able to do the impossible, he can do the impossible with me. And we need to have faith and trust in him and say, God is able to do it not only in the world, but he can do it with me. He can use my life. God used Sarah so he would get all the glory. They had recognized that they could not do it. Without God, it would have been impossible for them to have a child. Maybe if Sarah was, when they first came from the Ur of Chaldees many years early, maybe if she had the child then, no one would have said, oh yeah, that was just medical things and we're learning new things all the time. And when Abraham has a child with Hagar because she's a younger lady, no one says anything. But God in his perfect timing waits until things seem impossible. Abraham is 100, Sarah is 90. She is laughing, saying there's no way this could happen. And God reveals the truth to her, I can use you. If we are open to the faith that we need to have in God, God can choose to use us too. 1 Corinthians 1:27-29 says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound them which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. He's saying that he uses the weak and the foolish. Why? And at that end of those verses says, that no flesh should glory in his presence. See, God wants to do a work in my life, and God wants to do a work in your life that shows all the world that it wasn't Brian Pease that did it. It wasn't put your name there that did it and accomplished it in his own strength and his own timing and in their own wisdom. He says he wants you to live a life that shines to all the world and says, God did this in my life. No one else could have done it. That's what it says. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He wants to change your life. He wants to straighten you up so much that you become like Jesus Christ, that when they see you walking and when they see the way you act and they see your good works, they say, no person can do that. That must be God that's doing that. During our Bible conference, we had Brother Kirby Campbell that was here, and I believe his story. I think it's a wonderful testimony. But when I sat there and listened to that man talk, I says, no human being could do that. That had to be God working through his heart and life. To sit there and watch a man that was in extreme pain and continually moving because of his pain and say, God can take me and magnify my life. He says, God is using me to make him look good. How can anybody think that way? In your flesh, we can't. But in your spirit, in the spirit of God, he wants to get glory from your life. And that's what he does here with Sarah and Abraham. They're there. One's 100, one's 90. And he's showing a miraculous birth here. It's Abraham's seed. So, I mean, it was made. But he's showing the world that someday this is a miraculous birth. And that someday there is coming another miraculous birth in Jesus Christ. Okay, not only do we see God is faithful and that God is able, but after we see his faithfulness and his worthy ableness, we see that God is worthy also. God is worthy. You say, where do you see God, how they respond that God is worthy? Well, you see in verses 4 and 5, even go to verse number 3. At the end of verse number 3, you see Isaac's name there. Well, what's the big deal about that? Well, God had told him earlier that he should name his child back in Genesis chapter 17. His name should be Isaac. He obeyed. God was faithful, God was able, What does Abraham do? He obeys. Verse number 4, what does he do? And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. He obeyed God. Circumcision is not something that's easy for the child to go through. I know it's a young child and something that, you know, anytime there's some type of surgery, there's pain. It's hard for a father to watch that go through. Abraham could have said, okay, I got my son. I don't need to obey God anymore. I've got my son. He gave me the child. I've got what I wanted. I don't have to listen to God. I don't have to call him Isaac. I think he should be called Abraham Jr. No, he doesn't do that. He says, God said Isaac, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do Isaac. God said he needed to be circumcised. I'm going to have him circumcised also. He is worthy of our trust. Now, God is worthy. He is worthy of our trust. Because of his faithfulness, because of his power, because of his ability, he is worthy of our trust. We need to trust him with every area of our life. Abraham trusted him when he left the Ur of the Chaldees. He followed God when no one else was following God. God was faithful to him. He kept his promise. Abraham did not always follow after God. He did some questionable things, but we see God rewarding him and keeping his word. Who else are we going to trust with our lives and our family's lives anyway? I mean, who else can we turn to? Where can we go but to the Lord? To be honest with you, if we know ourselves and we know inside of ourselves, are we going to just trust ourselves to take care of our family? Probably most of us know that we can make a big mess of something very quickly if we don't depend on God. He's worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our obedience. Abraham had got his long-awaited answer to a prayer. But now we see him still saying, I am utterly dependent on God for the future welfare and spiritual welfare of that child. He acknowledges this, and what does he do? He does the things that are pleasing to God. Why does he have to be circumcised? Don't ask me, but God said it. And he says, if this pleases God, I know I depend upon God. I know I'm utterly dependent upon God, and I want God's blessing, so I'm going to trust in God, and I am going to be obedient to God. He named the child the right name. He circumcised the child. He is worthy of our obedience, and he demands our obedience. But because of his faithfulness and because of his ability, we should trust him. We should obey him. We should also praise him. Now, I know in verse number six, you might say, as Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. You say, well, how is that praising? She is just overwhelmed with what God had done. She just sits back, she does nothing but laugh and say, I cannot believe that God used me. And that way, when everybody hears this story, they will laugh too because they are just overwhelmed. The fact that God could use a 90-year-old woman to have a child. He's worthy of our praise. Revelation 4:11, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now listen to this. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We are created for his pleasure. He created all things. He is worthy of our trust. He is worthy of our obedience. He's worthy of our praise. So how do we tie this all together? I don't know about you, but when I read this story, I was encouraged. I serve a God that's faithful. I serve a God that will not lie to me. The God that comprehends all of history, sees exactly what I need, and has always been good to me. And even though sometimes I might get on my own pathway, and sometimes I might try to figure out myself things, I always come back to the fact that he has been faithful to me, and I can trust him. And then I look at the story and I see that God is able to do everything. I think we need to be reminded of that, because what on our calendars and what in our heart do we say God can't do? I hear people say, well, I know God can do all things, but I don't think that person gets saved. Well, I know God can do all things, but I don't see how he's going to do that. It's not based off of what we see he can or can't do. And don't look at me funny, because there's things probably in your own life that you wonder whether or not God is going to do. And the first step of faith is believing that God is able to do it. And then it's believing that God is faithful to do what is right, to do what is best. And then we respond as Abraham responded, by being obedient and trusting in God. And as Sarah did, praising him because of his faithfulness and his ability. Our God is able. He has never been unable to do something. We should thank him for that. So what in your life today have you kind of written off and say, that's never going to happen? God just is not going to let that happen. We've given up on it. Remember, Abraham and Sarah at one point in time gave up with the thought of Sarah having a child. It was a huge mess. And some of us have made a huge mess of our lives because instead of living by faith and allowing God to arrive right when we need something, we begin to try to work out the details ourselves. Let's trust in him. He's worthy of it. If you can trust in anybody, you can trust in God. I have some people tell me, say, Pastor, I trust you. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that they feel they can confide in me or they can do something or that. But you know what? You can trust in God 10,000 times 10,000 more than you could ever trust in me. He is faithful. He will never, ever fail you. He will never lie to you. He is always able to do the things he promised. Let us let this encourage our faith. Take a step on saying, okay, Lord, I believe in you. I see your faithfulness, and I want to put my faith and trust in you. This morning, if you're here and you're unsaved, not sure if you die today that you would go to heaven, we're getting ready to have an invitation time. God in his promises has offered eternal life to all that call upon him. But in that same promise, if you do not call upon him, there is an eternal damnation called hell for those that reject Jesus Christ. Come forward. Let us have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven today. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. For a time of invitation,